time for open mic on News Talk 1340 and 96.3 FM, KWLM.
All right, thank you very much, Todd. J.P. Cola here, and it's time to talk to our county commissioners. This show always rolls around so fast for us, and in studio with us again, we have Steve Gardner, commissioner. He's also vice chair this year. You got your headphones adjusted there properly, Steve?
What'd you say?
Oh, there you go.
Good morning, J.P.
You bet. And Dale Anderson. Dale, thanks for making it in today. Always good to see. You know, I shaved off my mustache after I got done with my last play. And then I was notified that they're going to be filming for another movie that I'll be required to have the mustache. So I got to start growing it again. So any tips there?
No, just let her go.
Just let her go.
Yeah.
All right.
Let it grow.
Well, how long have you been growing your stash there?
You know, I really have had it since I was in high school.
Okay.
I shaved it off one time for my wife because she just wanted to see, and she said, get that thing back. So it was just kind of funny. I looked like a two-year-old kid, I thought, when I shaved it off. So it was kind of a weird deal. Yeah. But yeah, I had it a long time.
You don't want to frighten the wife and kids.
That's
and
right.
Grandkids.
That's
yes.
Right.
All right. Well, a lot going on, and it was in late July. In fact, it was after one of the Rockin' Robbins shows that a big storm moved through the area and kind of caught me by surprise a little bit. I didn't know that it was going to be quite as heavy as it was going to be. And Dale, I know it hit your district and kind of the northern part of Kandiyohi County. At first they said it was not a tornado. Then later on they changed their mind and said, yes, it was indeed a tornado along with the straight line winds. So you guys dealt with, trying to maybe get some help for the storm damage cleanup. Why don't you, whoever wants to handle this, what happened yesterday at the board meeting?
Sure. So yesterday we had emergency management came in and kind of gave an overview of the storm that went through the area. Basically stretched, to be honest, all the way from our place, which is on the northern line of the county, all the way down through, even all the way south down to Sevilla and in that whole area. So basically the whole northern half of the county really got affected by this. But New London really was the brunt of the part that where the tornado set down, and that was where the biggest damage was. So we had a group come in that, like I said, talked about the storm, and then we had to declare an emergency so we could get some more funding for repaying and helping with the KUI Power Cooperative had a huge amount of loss from that.
Yeah.
So it just covers some of that to help pay some of the uninsured bills.
How was it at your place? Did you have any damage, and how long was your power out?
So we were out at our farm for about 6 hours.
Oh,
there was a branch that had taken down a line. But at our farm, we lost about 50%, we figure, of our trees.
Oh,
there's areas
bad.
Where they are completely flat. There's nothing left. And then other areas didn't get touched. So it was kind of interesting. We took a drone up and looked around. But some corn is pushed over in our area and stuff like that. But mostly tree damage. Not a lot of building damage, just trees. So.
Okay.
Can be thankful for that.
Were you at home when it hit?
You know, I wasn't. I was actually at a meeting in Colorado Springs, and my phone started going crazy, and I called my wife. I said, did you get everything put away? Because she had told me there might be a storm, and she goes, it's too late.
Oh, boy.
So, it was kind of a weird feeling to not be home and being able to help and start cleaning up the next morning.
Yeah, kind of a helpless feeling.
It sure was.
Yep. And Steve, you know, when you get these big storms that move through, a lot of times you have to kind of assess the damage fairly quickly because we have so many people out here that are willing to help clean up and get the branches out of the way. And if you have, you know, tin from roofs that are, you know, laying in people's meadows and stuff, that gets cleaned up pretty quick.
Well, and thankfully, we have Stephanie Felt and our emergency management team.
Yep.
To be able to coordinate all of that. Between that, our public works, all of the other entities and folks that helped with this response, things were resolved relatively quickly, and we have all of those folks to be thankful for that.
Yep. And I know there were a lot of roofs that were, not a lot, but it sounds to me like there was like maybe three or four roofs that were stripped off of homes and some businesses and stuff like that. So do you have to meet a certain damage threshold to be able to qualify for some of the assistance?
Yeah, correct. So when you have uninsured damage that to public infrastructure that reaches a certain threshold, just under $100,000 in our case, those agencies can apply to the state for public assistance funding, and they can be reimbursed for up to 75% of their qualifying expenses. Now, if damages reach, say, double that, about $195,000 in Candy, Ohio County, then those public agencies can request a 100% reimbursement. I don't recall if that's where we ended up the last time we had the storms roll through, where we did have some considerable damage too. Public infrastructure.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the last time there was the big storm damage. Obviously, there was the one in 2008 in the southern part of Willmar, that kind of thing. But there have been other storms and tornadoes that have gone through since then. I remember the one that went over Green Lake. There was the tornado in the southern part of Green Lake. But otherwise, you kind of forget these things. But they say these weird weather events are going to get more frequent. So.
I think that's a true statement.
Yeah. Thank goodness we didn't get the big hail damage that they got, south and east of us. Man, oh, man, baseball-size hail. And, I'm sure they're still assessing the damage to the crops and stuff there. So.
Mm-hmm. I saw a video of that from the Oakdale Golf Club.
Yeah.
And that was scary stuff, stripping the trees and just pounding the heck out of the turf there.
Yeah, it looks like some of that turf looked like the surface of the moon.
Mm-hmm.
But they got their big rollers and try to flatten it as much as they can and do replanting and hope Mother Nature helps out. But I think they were getting ready for a big tournament out there. So you had a lot of cars out in the parking lot.
Oh, my.
Man. All right. When do you hope to hear about when you might get that storm damage?
Well, there's a deadline to do it, and obviously Stephanie is on top of that. I don't have an exact for you, but I would imagine that it would happen relatively quickly.
Yeah, I'll give her a call then.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It was good to see you guys out at the county fair. I saw you, Steve. I didn't see you, Dale, but I'm sure you were probably out there roaming around and
yep.
Watching Todd get hypnotized up on stage.
Yep, that was good. Yeah, that's right.
You saw that?
Yeah, that was good.
Very good. After seeing that, I'm encouraged. I might give it a try sometime. I don't know if I'm hypnotizable or not, but...
Yeah, some kids aren't. Some people aren't. It was kind of funny that some people he has to kind of see if they do or do not go into that trance. But
yep.
Yeah, it is a really neat deal. It's been an attraction there for the last few years and hoping to bring them back again for another year. So yeah. I think it'll be a great deal.
What did you guys think of the construction project there on the east entrance? Is that pretty nice, to see that flattened out a little bit? It'd be nice to have it finished, but, not much you could do about that.
No, it's coming along. I'm actually on the fair board also, so it's been an exciting project to get going. Very expensive project, but we had that huge rain before the fair started, and to see the amount of water that ran off that hill, even with it flattened like we have it, there is a great need to protect that lake, and this project will really enhance the water quality to not have that gravel running off that hill. There'll be two settling ponds, and that's what's left to build. So that'll be a great improvement to get some of that dirt and sediment out before it goes down into the lake.
Mm-hmm.
But just to have the parking for the handicapped people, that was the thing that I thought was the most interesting and the most enjoyable. There's a lot of people that have struggles to make it up that hill, and they were able to enjoy the fair by just parking halfway up the hill and having them spots to do that. And that really was our goal, was to make it more handicap accessible and to make it a better place for people to have an enjoyable experience. So I hope by winter here it'll be done. They're going to start working on it. It was a permit issue. That's why it didn't get completed. So hopefully we can get it finished now and the grass can grow in great, and it'll be a great thing and an improvement for next year.
Yep, they'll be paving the road. It was hard-packed dirt for the fair, but they'll be paving that. So.
Yep, it'll be tarred all the way up to where the fire hydrants are, so that basically to the top of that hill will be tarred when the project is completed. And all them spots in front of, like, where the office were are all going to be kept as handicap parking spots once it's paved, too. So it'll be a great improvement. Like I said, a lot of money to do the project. I know they're still looking for donations or people to help out. And there's about six more phases to that whole fair project. So it's not the end, and hopefully it's just the beginning of things to come for the fair to make it a showcase of what everybody in our county has. And I think as a county commissioner, I'm really proud that we can help support that and help be part of that whole experience.
Yeah, and just to clarify for our listeners, of course, the fairgrounds are not owned by Kandi Ojai County or the city. They're owned by the Fair Association. But we're talking to you, Dale, as a member of the fair board. And we were talking before we went on the air about some of the attendance figures and the bull riding. How many did you say?
Close to 3,000 people we got there. So
great.
that was a great thing. And people really enjoy to come out and just kind of let their hair down a little bit and enjoy a nice evening. So that's a good feature for us to have on a Wednesday night.
Yep, and I know that you'll be discussing, you know, future events out there, maybe some changes to some of the different events and so forth. We were talking about maybe wanting to have a demo derby come back if that were ever possible. So I'll be interested to hear if that ever resurfaces there. But I'm not sure. You know, you have the tractor and truck pull one night, and then you have the hot rod guys that come in the last night. And I was in my hot tub in my backyard. I live in Northwest Wilmer. I felt like I was there.
Yeah, I bet. It was a lot of noise, that is for sure.
Yes.
They don't have a limited amount of noise, that's
yes,
for sure. But
yes,
people
indeed
seem to like the noise, and I guess I think it's got to be a rush. Somebody said if you can imagine going from standing still to 30 miles an hour to stopped in about 2 seconds, that's got to be quite the rush to do that.
Man, yeah. And some of those, the RPMs, I just, you know, was listening, ready to hear engines explode. But fortunately, I didn't hear any of those. So.
No, I think it went pretty well. I mean, it was a new thing we tried just to see if people would be interested in it again. It's been done in the years past, but it's a feature that is hard to get enough of the big trucks and tractors to come in also, because they've got different shows, and like you say, a motor blows up, they've got to get it re-put back together. But
yeah,
we did have a great amount of things come, and it was a 2.5 hour show, so it kind of works out nice.
Yeah. And Steve, you know, you were in the Kandi Ojai County Commissioner's booth there when I talked to you on Thursday, and you had a lot of swag there that you were giving away to people. But what were some of the things that people, you know, wanted to discuss with you when they stopped by the booth?
Sure. So first of all, just on the swag, that's all stuff that's provided by the EDC, CVB, things like that. We're not out there campaigning or anything like that.
Right,
we're not. We're not buying votes with frisbees.
No, not really. Maybe from dogs. They like the frisbees.
But we had some really good discussions with folks. Some folks with different ideas, but you know, primarily talking on the bread and butter things that we are really trying to address within Kandi Ojai County. So obviously, broadband, recycling came up again, especially out in the rural areas. We also had discussions on housing, childcare, you know, all of the different things that we already have initiatives going on or beginning to have initiatives on. At the end of the day, folks, you know, just want to know that they're going to have, you know, proper broadband, and they're going to have jobs to go to, and they're going to have daycare that's going to enable them to get to those jobs and finally have affordable, decent housing for our workforce.
Regarding recycling, of course, now the old recycling center building has been sold, I believe, to a company owned by Don Williamson. I don't know if it's West Central Sanitation or if it's maybe a spinoff company there, but have you heard yet what he plans to do with that building?
I have not.
Yeah. I went to the household hazardous waste site earlier this month. I was on vacation, so I got rid of tons of old oil and stuff like that from when I cleaned out my parents' house when my my mom passed away. And I've had, you know, stuff that had been sitting on the shelves. Some of that stuff, I swear, dates back to the 70s, you know, pre-barcode on there. But the guy out there, you know, took it all in, and some of the stuff had to be thrown out because it was like empty cans. The paint was all dried up. And the motor oil, you know, there's a place where you can dump it out there. So, you know, if you have that stuff, you know, take advantage of that.
Well, having cleaned out my parents' house, I feel your pain.
Yeah. Yeah, they collect all that stuff, and they think they're going to use it somehow, but they never do, and it's up to us to clean it up. My goal for my kids is to pass away completely devoid of anything other than money for them to inherit. So that's my goal. So, all right. And so the fair looks like it was a success. You know, I've seen the maps up on the wall about the long-term plans out at the fair. It looks like more parking. And Dale, it kind of looks like maybe the track might be eliminated or reduced or something like that?
You know, when that plan was drawn up, the race association was really struggling, and there was thoughts at that time when that was drawn up that it might disappear just because they didn't have the funding anymore, and it was kind of like it wasn't as good of a deal. But the association that races there has done very well in the last few years. They get great attendance. They do a nice job putting on shows on Thursday nights for everybody. So as of right now, there's no plan to get rid of the racetrack.
Okay.
It was just at that time, it was looking like it might disappear, and that was why it was drawn in that way. So they're doing well, and they do put on a nice show on Thursday nights for everybody if they want to stop out and watch the races. And yeah, hopefully it keeps going, but if eventually it doesn't, that's the plan.
And the race, it seems like the races are more quiet than they used to be. I don't know if they have mufflers on or some sort of regulations on exhaust now that they didn't have before. But, you know, Thursday nights, it's really not that bad anymore in Northwest Wilmer.
Yeah, it seems like it's not as loud. And I know they try and be done earlier so they don't interrupt people late at night. So they do a nice job. I've been very impressed.
What would it take to build a new grandstand out there?
Well, that has been talked about. The Race Association really is kind of pushing to try and get that done. But it's funding. You know, they need money, and it's expensive. That would be a very expensive project also.
Yeah.
But it is always talked about, and if we can find the funding and somebody comes up with the money, we'll do it. But it's just all about funding.
All right.
And to that point, they've made a request for an increase in their allocation from the county. And so far, that is still within our budget discussions. Okay. And, you know, we'll see where that takes us.
Yeah, that would be neat. Let's get a group of Eagle Scouts out there and have them build new bleachers for an Eagle Scout project. How does that sound?
You know, that is always nice. Them projects that they help out with on them Eagle Scout things have been very good for the fair. I will say that.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, I think we're running a little bit out of time here for the first half of the show. We got more to talk about in the second half with Commissioners Dale Anderson and Steve Gardner. Talk about some of the projects going on, the broadband projects. And I know that some bid was let and approved for a new bridge and support for the Glacial Lake State Trail. So more to talk about in the second half of the show. Also wanted to ask you about the hiring of Carolyn Kahn as the new Health and Human Services Director for the county. I'm not sure how that got past my radar there, but I think she was hired last month. So we'll talk a little bit about that and more on part two of the Open Mic Show on News Talk 1340 and 96.3 FM KWLM.
Let's get back now for part two of Open Mic.
All right. Thank you much, Todd. J.P. Cola here, along with Kandiyohi High County Commissioners Dale Anderson and Steve Gardner. And if you have any questions or comments, you can give us a call at 235-1342, 235-1342. The lines are open. Gentlemen, on the 1st of August was the legalization of recreational cannabis in the state of Minnesota. And you also had your first board meeting of the month on the 1st. So, you know, I've talked to city officials about what they've had to deal with, and, you know, they're kind of holding off on issuing any kind of licenses until the state has their board of cannabis management up and going. So they'll probably be passing that at their board meeting coming up on Monday. From a county level, let's say a town or somebody outside of an incorporated town wants to get a license to sell recreational cannabis. Do you have the infrastructure set up to deal with that, or, you know, has that come up yet?
Steve? Well, that hasn't come up yet, JP, and the licensing isn't going to happen, as I understand it, for quite some time yet. So there's a period of time for counties and municipalities to come up with some regulations surrounding, for example, the public use. The state has some loose guidelines. They do allow local units of government to be able to do certain things. But what we can do is relatively limited. I mean, let's face it, whether you like legalization or not, you know, it is a fact, and it is something that we're going to have to deal with. I know that our friends down in Renville County were considering a public use ordinance yesterday. I do have that. I'd asked for that from one of our peers down there, and there's some very beginning conversations about this. Nobody as commissioner or staff have met yet to start talking about this. You know, should you be smoking or vaping in a county park?
I think clearly
the answer
system.
Is no, and that may be a moot point because it's supposed to be subject to the same laws as smoking in public places. So it's a conversation still waiting to be had.
What about alcohol use? Is alcohol use allowed in county parks?
I want to say that it is, but obviously if anybody gets out of hand, mm-hmm. you know, then there's an issue with that.
But like if you're camping out in a county, I almost called it county park, you know, number, you go by the names now, you know, say Candy Ojai, Lake Park, if someone brings in a cooler or something, that's allowed. But at this point, you're looking at possibly not allowing vaping or smoking of marijuana, that kind of thing?
Well, I think that's going to have to be part of the discussion.
Yeah.
And that discussion, like I say, is still needing to be had.
Sure.
It's early, and of course, we're working on the budget. We have labor negotiations that have just begun. And so, you know, the plate is kind of full.
Well, it looks like at your meeting on the 1st, you did approve of some changes in policy regarding the employee handbook and that kind of thing, right? With this regard, you know, use of cannabis at work and that kind of thing?
Correct. So obviously our employees can't use cannabis at work. This is just simply to align our employment policies, treating cannabis essentially the same as we treat alcohol. So if you have a DOT license or you're subject to federal regulations or other entities where you really can't be doing that, that's unchanged. You know, but for the rank and file folks, essentially, if anybody's going to use this on their off time, you know, we're not, you know, it's just like alcohol. We're not going to address it unless it becomes a problem.
Well, you know, for a while there, I remember back in the 80s and 90s, drug testing was a big deal. If you know, you were tested at work and there was any that was detected in your bloodstream, since it was an illegal substance, you could be terminated. Has that changed now? Because, I mean, you could smoke it and still have it in your bloodstream, you know, 2 weeks later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is no test, as I understand, to establish levels. So I think testing, except in those circumstances that I outlined, you know, people with DOT licenses, things like that, who are still subject to not using it. You know, it's just not anything. I think a continuance of routine drug testing would just be a waste of time and resources, because, you know, this is a legal substance.
At least for that particular substance, yeah. So, okay, yeah, it seems like there's still a lot of questions that governments are dealing with, law enforcement, that have to be cleared up, that maybe the legislature will have to do some tweaking in the next session.
Well, the legislature, frankly, did not do local units of government very many favors with this legislation. It is a... There's a lot that we have to consider with very little guidance, relatively speaking. And in places where there are guidance, well, it's almost like a hard, you will do this. So, you know, there wasn't a lot there for us from the legislature in the way of help. So all of us have to figure this out. We'll be working with our various associations, you know, League of Minnesota Cities, AMC, Association of Minnesota Counties. And, you know, we'll, at these levels of government, these are the most responsible levels of government, in my opinion, your local and county governments. And we'll get it figured out.
Yeah, it might take a year or two or maybe a decade. But, you know, hopefully you'll get maybe a little bit more guidance from the legislature next year. And you'll be passing on, I would imagine, your concerns to your various associations that would then pass it on to your lawmakers. Or you can give Dave Baker a call or Andrew Lang. Or
We have an Association Minnesota Counties Policy Conference coming up next month in Alexandria. And I have no doubt that this will be a hot topic of a conversation in both probably the general government and public safety committees.
All right. Dale, in your district, there's going to be a big destination golf course built within the next couple years, Tepetaca. Although people have been telling me it's Tepetaca, but I have to go. I talked to Mark Hogyord. I can pronounce that one just right. and he says it's a Tepetaca, so that's what I'm going with until you know, I'm corrected on that. But I talked to Eric Van Dyken, planning and zoning, and it sounds like so far the proponents are doing what they need to do, and right now it's kind of in the environmental stage.
Yeah, that's right. You know, there's a process that it has to go through, and I think, you know, it's going to take some time for that process to get completed. I think that we just have to wait and watch it follow through that process. You know, the public, I know there's concerns in the area. I've heard people have concerns when I was campaigning about it, and right. I mean, I understand people having concerns, but I also think that we have to let the process run through. There'll be a public input period for many different things, for the conditional use permit, for the environmental, I know there is right now. So people have a chance, if they want to voice their opinion, they have a chance to do that through that process of the public input. So I think that's probably the best thing, that if people are really concerned, that they can voice their opinion through that. But I think it's going to have good things and it's going to have bad things. So I think we just have to let it run through the process and see where it goes and just be patient.
It seems like, from what I'm hearing, the biggest concerns are possible pollution of Shakopee Creek with extra nutrients from fertilizers and pesticides and things like that. Is that kind of what you're hearing?
Yeah, I think that is the big concern. There's some concern also with the plume of underground, maybe pollution that's coming out of the landfill, if that's going to come closer to it and going to affect people's groundwater in the area. I know that's a concern that I've heard. But, you know, when it's as big of a project as this is, there is so many eyes watching. I think that it'll be overseen very well by different agencies. So I guess we just have to see how that all goes through the process of getting these environmental studies done. And you know, it's always a concern, but I think there's a process to get it to make sure it's done well. Yeah. And I think that's what we have to have faith in, is that there is organizations and government agencies that will be watching the process.
I know before you and I went on the air, we were talking, and I guess it's my hope that the developers might do something about controlling some of the erosion from some of those dirt banks into Shakopee Creek. That might be kind of nice.
Yeah, I think that, you know, that is a big thing. I know they've been working with the soil and water in the county to look at different things to help out with Shakopee Creek. There is a lot of bank erosion when you get back in them hillsides. So I think hopefully that they can help out with that in through the building of this if it does get to that point. Anything to help the water quality is kind of always been my thing. So I guess I'm going to be watching it also for that, because that's an important thing to me. But hopefully they can help with that, you know, sediment going down that river and getting further down through the system.
All right. Broadband is, you know, a big deal. We've got some projects going on right now, and seems like many different parts of the county, from, you know, Lake Lillian to the eastern side to the places north and west of Willmar and so forth. And, Steve, as I understand, the county board is looking to, you know, get maybe some more funding through the broadband, the border-to-border program, and for some of these other projects?
Sure. Well, that happened yesterday, actually. We passed a resolution that approved and authorized an agreement with Federated Telephone. And so this is, and I had it up earlier, and now it's disappeared. Dale has it up for me. Thank you. So this is a $9.8 million project, the primary areas are Arctander, Dovery, Mamre, and St. John's townships. And this wouldn't have been possible even a year ago because there was a $5 million limit on the projects that could be funded. There's basically a 50% border-to-border development grant match that's in here. We had to have the local match, and Candiac County for this project is putting in about $1.4 million. Four townships are putting in, my Minnesota high school math tells me, around $1 million on this. So it's, you know, broadband for all is really an important issue from economic development standpoint, from quality of life standpoint. This is really becoming the REA of our time. This is essentially a public utility as far as I'm concerned. So if we can get that access for folks all across Candiac County, we'll have done our job.
Yeah, just think how reliant we've become on the internet, broadband, high-speed internet, and everything you can get over your phone communications-wise. And, you know, the days of making a regular phone call, somebody calling on a landline, is almost completely gone. And we've really become, you know how you feel when you leave your home and you remember that you forgot your phone at home, that feeling that you get? You know, it really is become an important thing, you know, for business and for school and just for day-to-day use. And it's good to see that, you know, there's recognition given to the importance and there's money available for some of these projects. Mm-hmm. Especially, you know, in some of the more rural areas where companies might hesitate to spend all the time and money to lay a line just to one or two houses in, you know, a quarter of a township or something, or a section or something. Mm-hmm. So, all right. You know, when you breathe in like that, I think you're going to say something more. But
I almost did.
All right. Looking forward more on the agenda. At the end of the meeting, you had a closed session, and I don't know what you can say about that. Looks like it was to review the performance of County Administrator Kelsey Baker.
Correct. In her employment contract, there had been written in a 6-month review. Essentially, to me anyway, a check-in about how things were going and where do we go from here. So we did that in a closed session, and there will be a summary of that closed session, I believe, available at our next board meeting.
And that's coming up.
You might have to ask the chair if that's the correct timing or not.
All right. Yep. Yeah. And that's coming up September 5th there. So, all right. And I was going to ask you, Dale, about a bid that was let for a bridge project here in the county down south of Pennock, I believe, that is yes. kind of an important bridge.
Yeah, I don't have the exact dollar amount what that bid was let, but that is an important bridge for the sugar beet haulers. It's been a light bridge, and because of that, people have had to go around and make a longer trip to get to the piling stations in that area. So it's a very important bridge to get up to a 10-ton road status so that they can just drive on that road instead of having to make a big detour around with these heavier loads from the sugar beet hauling. And it's an important, you know, road to go south on to go, you know, it's kind of a back road, I guess, in a way, but very nice road to travel on for people that are just driving south from our community, too. But more importantly, for the bigger, heavier loads of trucks of sugar beets, that's really why it's being replaced. It's an old wood bridge, so now it'll be a cement box culvert. And the wood bridges have been in for many, many years, and they just start to give out. So
right. All right. Well, gentlemen, thanks for coming in today for Open Mic. Dale Anderson and Steve Gardner with the Kandiyohi County Board. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. And that's it for Open Mic. I'm JP Cola. Back to you, Todd.